The following is an evening lecture given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on April 9th, 2011, in Noida, India.
So, Rupa Goswami says that this is nectar. Tunde Tandavali Riting. Vitanute tundavali lobdi ye Karna karoda kadambani gatayate kunarvyade brasriham Cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendriyanam kritim No jane janita Kriyadvi amrite krishnaiti varanindvai. I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate this Krishna name on my tongue, it dances on my tongue. And when that name is dancing on my tongue, I want to have billions of mouths taste more and more of that nectar. And when those names, those sweet ambrosial names, into the holes of my ears, I want to have millions and billions of ears to get more and more of that nectar. And when those names, those syllables, Krishna, when they dance in the courtyard of my heart, I'm stunned in wonder. My mind is completely conquered. So, when Rupa Goswami gives that sort of an endorsement for the holy names, we can understand why it's so sweet to chant Hare Krishna mantra. It's so sweet. Amrit. We say nectar, but what is the actual literal translation of Amrit? Deathless. Not mrita, death. In other words, if something is actually nectarian, if it's actually oozing with unlimited oceans of nectar, that thing will give you immortality. So what does that mean about the so-called nectar of this material world? It means that it's only so-called nectar. You see? They say sex life is nectar. iPhones are nectar. Mercedes are nectar, you see, but it's not nectar. Rupees is nectar. But the actual nectar, the only nectar, is that which bestows immortality upon the living being. To become immortal is not an artificial adjustment. Actually, the living entity is already immortal. Simply, he's been covered by the cloud of illusion which makes him identify with this temporary bag of mucus, bile, air, blood, stool, vomit, urine, etc. Maya's really expert at packaging blood and vomit, isn't she? Here's a bag of blood and vomit. Enjoy it. How expert she is in marketing. What is there in this body to enjoy? What is there in this body to enjoy? There's nothing enjoyable. It is simply suffering, but yet we embrace this body, especially the body of the opposite sex, is the greatest pleasure. How much we are being misled by the powers of Maya. How much Maya Devi is illusioning us. And therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so kindly come to give this Harinam Sankirtan movement. Chaita Darpanamarjanam Bhava Mahanavagni Nevapanam. He has so kindly come to give the Sankirtan movement, to give life to the living entity. What is that talking going on? What is that talking going on? What is that talking going on? The talking should not be... Prabhupada would never tolerate any talking during the lecture. Talking can go on out somewhere else, but not here in the lecture hall. So, we must take very seriously this process of Krishna consciousness. This is why Prabhupada insisted on quiet, I remember. I was with Prabhupada in Atlanta in 1975. He was giving the Bhagavatam class. In the kitchen, the cook, Ramnath Sukaprabhu, he was cutting the fruit for the morning offering. Click, click, click on the cutting board. Cut, cut, cut. Prabhupada stopped the lecture. He said, "What is that sound?" Just in the other room, somebody cutting in the cutting board. There was no question of anybody talking in the temple room during the lecture. Not a winning woman say a single word. But in the kitchen, through the other side of the wall, Ramnath Sukaru was cutting the vegetables, I mean the fruits. Just cutting with a knife. It wasn't that loud, but Prabhupada could hear it. He stopped the lecture. What is that sound? So, is this Prabhupada's pride? No. Prabhupada wanted that we should be able to hear the lecture with undivided attention. There will be no distraction. Why is that important? Because this Shabda Brahma, this transcendental sound vibration, is what liberates us from this material existence. It's difficult enough for us to focus because we're thinking about this and that, so many things. My wife, my kids, my job, this and that, so many things we're absorbed in thinking about. My education, my exams, so many things. So to sit down and hear, there has to be, it should be completely peaceful atmosphere where there's no distractions, where we can go deep, deep, deep into Shabda Brahma. Without any distraction. Because that Shabda Brahma, if we can enter deeply into it, that is a doorway. That is a gateway into the transcendental existence. In other words, simply by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master, just like is described in the Bhagavatam, carried by the wings of the Vedas. The great sages are carried by the wings of the Vedas. What does that mean? That means this Vedic wisdom is an airplane or a carrier bird, however you like to see it, that takes you to the spiritual existence. So we have to learn how to fully absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting. Especially we've given all this, we've all been given the duty of chanting the Japa Mala. We have to learn to do it with great fixity of attention, with great focus of mind. And the classes also, the same fixity, the same focus of mind. We should go deep, deep, deep into the subject matter, into the transcendental sound vibration. Why? Did you know that this is actually is Krishna? This is the holy name. Hare Krishna, is Radha Krishna. The transcendental subject matter, this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, presented by the pure devotee, by that person who is purely presenting the message without any adulteration or subtraction. This message is Krishna Himself. Krishna Himself has manifested in the form of this transcendental sound vibration. So therefore we should fully worship and absorb ourselves in this transcendental sound vibration with all respect. with all awe, with all reverence, with all veneration, with all humility, with all enthusiasm, with all sincerity. We should deeply absorb ourselves in this transcendental sound vibration with rapt attention. Just imagine 5,000 years ago in the forest of Naimisharanya. What did the sages do? They gathered for a sacrifice to hold off the influence of the Kali Yuga. How long was that sacrifice for? Does anybody remember? 1,000 years. So what if we announced tonight, okay, you've all come. Now, we're going to hold this class now for 1,000 years. All of you have been given a special boon that you will not age. You will feel no deterioration of health. You've been given a blood boon that you can sit here for 1,000 years without feeling any aging effect or deterioration or fatigue. And for 1,000 years now, you'll absorb yourself in hearing this presentation for holding off the Kali Yuga. Not only the speaker's potency acts, but the hearer's potency also acts. Did you know that? The one who is speaking, his potency acts upon that atmosphere. Each and every hearer also who is hearing with bhakti, his hearing also adds potency to that event. So the hearer can be just as potent have just as potent of an effect on a transcendental gathering as the speaker. Was Parikshit any less influential than Shukadev at that gathering? No. His hearing was so first class. In fact, there are the 9 different types of bhakti, Navavidha bhakti. And each one of these 9 types of bhakti has an acharya who is the perfect emblem of that particular aspect of bhakti. Hearing, that's Parikshit Maharaj. Speaking, Shukadev Goswami. So they are equally celebrated as leading acharyas of that particular wing of bhakti. So the hearing, submissive hearing, is just as potent as proper speaking. So if you will hear very nicely at this present moment, if you will hear very nicely with full attention, that's why I asked the gentleman back there not to speak, you see. Because it makes it harder for you to hear. If you will hear with full attention, then your hearing is having a purifying, uplifting effect upon this gathering, and not only this gathering, but your hearing, your submissive, enthusiastic hearing, is having an uplifting effect on the entire global consciousness, which we all know is very badly in need of uplifting at the present moment. So, kindly continue in this process of hearing and chanting about Krishna. Chant your rounds very nicely. Attend the programs here, give classes or hear classes with full bhakti. And by this focus of the mind on Krishna, you will be benefited and you will benefit the entire world. So this Krishna consciousness process, it is not at all difficult. It simply requires practice. It's not difficult, really. Let me show you. Can you remember Krishna right now? Not difficult. All right, Krishna. I remember him, thinking about Krishna. Is it difficult to remember Krishna right now? What about now? This is a moment later. You can remember Krishna again. If you can remember Krishna now, you can remember Krishna in the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. You just have to keep remembering, that's all. If you can remember Krishna now, there's no problem in remembering him tomorrow or day after. If you can, anything you can do now, you can do tomorrow, you can do the next day, the next week, the next year, the next decade. Whatever you're doing now, remembering Krishna, you do that, keep doing that. That's all you have to do to become spiritually advanced. Got to keep remembering Krishna. There's nothing. It's nothing else. Krishna consciousness simply is the process of always remembering Krishna. Yena tena prakarena mana krishnena vesayet sarvavidhi nishaya shur etayo rivakinkara. Rupa Goswami states. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.4. He says, one should always fix his mind on Krishna by any means. All the rules and prohibitions of the scriptures, they are the servant of this principle. So whatever you're doing, just always remember Krishna. That's a simple thing. All you're doing, always remember Krishna. Whether you're, when you're at the temple, remember Krishna. When you're at home, remember Krishna. When you're at work, remember Krishna. When you're brushing your teeth, remember Krishna. When you're commuting, you're in the wonderful roads of Delhi, the streets and roads of Delhi. Remember Krishna in every circumstance. And what is the benefit if you practice always remembering Krishna? Yam yam vapi smanam vavam, tijan yante kalevaram. Tam tam me vanti konteya sadata bhavabhavitaha. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, that state he will attain, O Arjuna, without fail. So if you have trained yourself to always remember Krishna at every minute, the time of death, as they say in America, a piece of cake. It'll be a piece of cake. Because you trained yourself to always remember Krishna in all circumstances. Now death has come. Okay, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. That means you become successful. If you can practice in that way, you're going back to home, back to Godhead, not taking birth again in the cycle of birth and death, going again and again and again through the 8,400,000 species of life listed in the Vishnu Purana. That going back to home is guaranteed. So you decide what you want. What would you like to have in your next life? You like to have a spiritual body or a material body? You are creating your next body right now. You are creating your next body by your every thought, your every word, and your every deed, and every time, every place and situation. So you gotta get up every morning and decide, well, okay, I'm creating my next body right now. What kind of body would I like? How about a fish body? Or a bird body? Or a dog body, you see. Or a monkey body, you see. What kind of body would you like in your next life, you see? Snake body, ant body, you see. What kind of body would you like, you see? You're creating your next body right now. By your thoughts, words and deeds, you're creating your next body. So you have to decide what kind of body you want and go for it. Just like you go to the university, you pick your major. What do you want your degree in? Basket weaving? You decide what you want your degree in and go for it. You see. So in the same way, you have to decide what you want your next body to be. Would you like an eternal body full of knowledge and bliss? Or do you want another material body which is temporary, full of ignorance and misery? Your choice. You have the free choice to choose whatever kind of body you want your next life. Want another rotting piece of blood and flesh? Which is like an eternal body made of one of three wonderful elements known as eternity, knowledge, and bliss. How would you like to have a Satchitananda body? A body composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. No more blood and mucus and vomit and pus, stool, all those kind of wonderful ingredients. But made out of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Would you like that kind of a body? You can have it. You just have to make your decision. This is what I want. And you got to focus. Just like a university student on getting his degree. I'm going to get me my master's degree in electrical engineering. And I'm focused on it. And everything is centered around that. And you get it, you see, because you focused yourself. So now you have to focus on the ultimate engineering degree. Krishna consciousness, you see. You have to engineer your way beyond the cycle of birth and death, you see. By taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartin arjuna mam upachira konteya punar janmana vidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, Purnar Janmana Vidyate, he never takes birth again. Do you want to be one of those that never takes birth again? Or do you want to be one of those who's competing to become Brahma? Is it? Everybody's competing to be Brahma, either the Brahma in their office, or the Brahma of their house, or the Brahma of India, you see? Or the Brahma of the universe. Everybody is competing to be a Brahma, you know, a big demigod. The dog also is competing to be Brahma. We were riding on the rickshaw through Loy Bazaar the other day, and there was some dog up on the roof. He was just barking at everybody down below. Ruff, 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 ruff. Get off my street. I'm the Brahma of this street. You see. What are you doing on my street? You see, he's trying to be the Brahma of that street. Get off my street. I'm the Lord here. You see. So, what is the use if you can become even the Brahma of the whole material world? What is the use? Even Brahmaji's planet, there is death. What is the proof? Hiranyakashipu, by his austerities, he forced Brahmaji to appear. And when Brahmaji appeared, he asked for immortality. Brahmaji said, what can I do? I'm not immortal. I can't give you immortality. I don't even have it. You see? So why struggle to be a big person in your corporation, in your country, in your city? Why struggle to be even a Brahma of this universe when still you have to die and lose everything? It's not a very intelligent thing to do. The intelligent thing is to awaken the dormant love of God within your heart. That is intelligent. That is intelligent. Awaken that dormant love of God within your heart. And then Purna Janmana Vidyate. So I can ask now if there's... Oh, I actually have some questions left over from last night. If there's no questions, I have a ton of them. I was here in Noida at that base last night, and they asked so many questions, we didn't have time to answer all of them. So I have if you have no questions, I have many from last night left over. If you have some questions, you can write them down and pass them up. In the meantime, we'll see what they have here. What is the difference between doing work for the pleasure of Krishna and doing work for the pleasure of the work itself? Well, if you're just doing the work itself without trying to please Krishna, you're trying to enjoy it, so you're trying to be the enjoyer, and that's the whole disease of material existence. How can we control our more and more confusion in our life while taking any decision or doing any work? That's very simple. Satatam kintiyanta bam yadantashta dirivataha yadantashta. Let's see, where does that go? Satatam kirtiyanta. No, not that one. Tesham satatiyuktanam dadatam duttiporvagam dadami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upiyantite. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. No, that's the different one again. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the understanding of which they can come to me. That's 10:10 Bhagavad Gita. So if you are devoted to Krishna, then Krishna from within your heart and through the spiritual master and through other devotees and through the scriptures will guide you how to make every decision in your life very nicely. How can we believe in any person? Actually, you should only believe in one person, that's Krishna. So you should see who is representing Krishna. And that person you should believe. Others you should not believe. Any questions, Jen? Is it correct to believe in God without knowing His existence? You should know. You shouldn't. It's good to accept God, but if you don't really know God, your acceptance is mere sentiment and it will not stay. So you should study the science of God in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that way you'll never give up your faith in God. I seem to be busy with mundane activities. How can I create more time for Krishna consciousness? You have to engage all of your mundane activities in the service of Krishna. Whatever you're doing, whether you have to do it for your occupational needs, you must offer the result of that to Krishna, and then that becomes transcendentalized. There's more? The new ones are favored over the old ones. So. All right? By doing pure devotional service, we go to Golok Vrindavan. By some time, one falls from there in the material world. Someone may fall from Golok. They won't fall twice. No one will fall twice. Somebody may fall once due to misuse of their free will. They think, well, if I was this sinner, I'll get more pleasure. Let me check it out. But once they stick their hand in the fire, they would never do that mistake again. Why does Krishna want us to praise Him? Krishna does not need your praise, but you need to praise Krishna. Why should the hand serve the stomach? Because the hand requires the stomach for getting its nutrition. So one should praise Krishna for the sake of being properly situated in transcendental bliss. Not that Krishna needs our service, we need to serve Krishna. We know that God is in everything, but then how can we know that who is the God for us? Or what is the... Who is the God for us? Actually, there's only one Supreme. There's one Supreme Person as the source of all existence. It's not a matter of, well, which God do you want for you? No, there is one Supreme Source of all existence. We all come from the same place. It's not that there's different realities floating around here. There's only one reality. And there's one source for that reality. That person is the source of the reality. That is God. We have initially, many... desires and many concepts of our own mind. So how to come out of it and take Krishna consciousness as it is? You have to hear from the bona fide guru, that's all. And read the bona fide shastras, and then you become fine. We have heard that nothing is possible without God. But we are involved in so many bad things. Is this God's desire? Yes, because you wanted something bad, God said, all right, if you really wanted that bad, I'll facilitate you. It's not good for you, but because you're demanding it on your confectionate father, all right, I'll let you have it. Why is it that even after repetitive hearing that we should be focused and be attentive during chanting, we're not able to chant in that way? It's because you're conditioned to be a... mano retainer, a mano ratta, a chariot. In other words, your mind is conditioning to be a wild animal. For millions of births, your mind has been a wild animal. So that's why you're conditioned that way. That's why you have to beat the mind in submission by saying, okay, mind, japa. Space out time is over, now it's time for japa. Can we understand logically or some way that Krishna and His name are non-different? Of course. Krishna, everything is non-different from Krishna. Because Krishna is everything. Everything is Krishna. It's all His energy. Nothing exists except Krishna and His energy. And His energy is He Himself. So actually the name of Krishna must be Krishna. Because in one sense, everything is Krishna. The difference is there's the emanator Krishna and the emanated Krishna. That's the difference between us and the Maya bodies. They say it's all absolutely one. It's all one and the same. We say, no, it's one and different. That's the difference between Mayavada and Vaishnava. They say it's all one and the same. We say, no, it's all one and different. We say one and different. They say one and the same. That's the difference between Mayavada and Vaishnava philosophy. Can we put our question to you online? Yes, you can. SDA@backtohome.com. S like sugar, D like David, A like apple, @backtohome.com. When we are at work and try to glorify Krishna, some people make fun of it. Doesn't bother me, but I'm afraid Krishna may feel bad as people laugh about his talks. What to do? Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Well, you present Krishna in such a way that they become fascinated. You have to be intelligent about it. You don't want to force Krishna on people who are not interested to hear about Krishna. But you have to tactfully present Krishna in such a way that people become curious. It's like on your desk, you can put a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is. You don't say anything, you just put it there on your desk. And prominently displayed there all day long. Every time they walk by your cubicle, there's Krishna and Krishna and Arjuna on the chariot. You see. You have a few copies in your drawer. If somebody's really interested, you give them one and ask for a little contribution to cover the printing cost. Some people made devotees that way. They put a Bhagavad Gita on their desk. They made a devotee from one of their co-workers just by putting a Bhagavad Gita on their desk. How can we control our mind as mind wants many things, but as we know, we can't do everything? So why mind changes in every moment? There's only one way to control the mind, that's to fix it on Krishna. Simple thing. My spiritual silence seems to be often disturbed due to intermittent health and bodily issues. Is it caused by the material contamination or is it due to some other reasons? Well, I can tell you every distraction we are experiencing from our Krishna consciousness is a reaction to previous sinful activities. Tate nukam pam susumikshamano bunanja bunjana evatma katam vapakam tadvag vidang. What is it? Tadvag vidang gur vijay. Just not forgetting it. Tate nukam pam susumikshamano bunjana evatma katam vapakam tad. Next line. My hearing isn't good enough to pick it up. That's all right. My hearing isn't good enough to pick it up. It's okay. I'm so deaf I can't make it out. Tadvagvapur vivadadang namaste. Yeah, I got it. Jiveta yomukti padesa jayabhav. My dear Lord, those devotees who are always waiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continuously suffer the reactions to their past misdeeds, constantly offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So when I'm experiencing some reaction from some health issue or some mental problem or some interpersonal problem, any kind of problem of the three types of miseries, then I have to understand I'm burning off the reactions for past sinful misdeeds. So let me do it in a mood of gratitude. Let me always have an attitude of gratitude even when things are going bad, really, really badly. Take it with an attitude of gratitude. Thank you, Krishna, for purifying me in this way. And that way you conquer it. You don't become defeated by it. You can use even the material miseries as a springboard to catapult yourself into transcendental bliss. how to get rid of the opposite sex attraction and divert our mind towards Krishna devotion. What is that verse? Yadavadi mamacheta Krishna padarvinde Navanavara sadamo nyanyatarantu vasit Jadavadi vatanari sangame smayamane Pavati mukushushtu nishtivanamcha. This is the wonderful poetry of Jamunacharya Albandra of South India. He says that whenever, ever since I've been engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, tasting nava nava rasa, newer and newer pleasure in that service to the Lord, whenever by chance my mind happened to think about sex, my lips curl with distaste and I spit at the thought. So, you just have to be a good spitter, Prabhu. Just got to learn how to spit. Every time the thought of sex comes, spit on it. But that's about all it's worth. Except for producing a saintly child, and that's a beautiful utilization of sex pleasure given by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. But any sex just for bodily pleasure, spit on it. It's not worth anything more than your spit. And you have to be convinced of that. I've been chanting 16 rounds of japa for the past 1.5 years, regularly reading the Gita and other Prabhupada books, but still I have not obtained even an iota of service, attitude, or love for my spiritual master. When will I or will I ever be able to develop this love? Well, you have to have hope against hope. There's a wonderful verse in this connection given by Rupa Goswami. How he has this, even though he has no qualifications whatsoever, he has no attraction for this, no attraction for that, no knowledge, nothing. He's completely a pauper of all spiritual assets. But still he has this hope against hope that somehow or other he's going to get the mercy of the Lord. It's undying hope. So just have that undying hope and you will be rewarded for that. Maybe we have kirtan for 10 minutes. No, I don't have time. I have to get up at 2:30 in the morning and I have to go all the way back to east of Kailash. And I don't have the time. You can have kirtan after I leave, yeah. But I cannot. If you want more kirtan, come with me, then you come to Gurgaon, huh? Punjabi Bagh at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, yeah. We'll have a nice kirtan then, yeah. Punjabi Bagh tomorrow morning. Oh, this is too long. This is going to take an hour just to read the question. Let's see. People have different kinds of faith and religious activity. They believe in Krishna as God only, or a God only, I think you mean. How can we clarify it to them about Krishna and different religious faiths? Well, God is only one. The idea that, how many Supreme Courts are there in the country? There's only one. You can only have one Supreme Court. You can only have one Supreme Being. If there's more than one, they're not Supreme. Subordinate gods, you can have many. But Supreme God, there can only be one. So who is the Supreme God? That we have to look into the Vedas. The Rig Veda confirms that Lord Vishnu is the Supreme God. He's the expanded form of Krishna. So it means Krishna is the Supreme God. It's confirmed by Lord Brahma. It's confirmed by Lord Shiva. In the Bhagavatam and the prayers by Lord Shiva, chanting the prayers sung by Lord Shiva, it's confirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Lord by Lord Shiva. All the great authorities, Mahajano Yena Gata Sapanta, all the great authorities confirm that Krishna is the Supreme. If you want to take the words of the great Mahajanas, then take Krishna as the Supreme. Svayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumara Kapilo Manu Prahlado Janako Bhishmo Balir Vyasakirviyam. These are the 12 great authorities that have guided the Vedic civilization for thousands and millions of years. Brahmanji, Narad Muni, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Lord Kapiladev, Svayambhuva Manu, Prahlad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadev Goswami, and Yamaraj. These are the great authorities. They've all confirmed that Krishna is the supreme. So you want to? You think you're some? You think you can have your own opinion? Somebody else is supreme. Well, good luck. You don't want to follow the Mahajans. You want to cook up your own theory. Well, good luck. That's all I can say. Good luck at the time of death, Prabhu. You want to cook up your own supreme? Well, I think Sai Baba is the supreme. Good luck. Does God really exist? What is the proof to satisfy the question? Well, you have to understand what the word God means. That's the first thing. You understand the meaning of the word God, then God must exist. God cannot not exist. It's impossible. You understand the meaning of the word God. If you don't understand what God means, then you can say any damn nonsense about God. But if you understand what God means, then you know that God cannot not exist. God means the source of existence. That's it. God is the source of existence, according to Brahmanji. Anadir Adir. He has no origin, he is the origin. God is origin, Adir. By the great authority, Lord Brahma has described God as Adir, he is the origin. So, if someone says there is no God, they are saying we have an originless existence. But I ask you, is that scientific? Everything came out of nothing. How many of you ever made popcorn before? Anybody make popcorn? And then, anybody make popcorn before? Yeah. Did you make it out of nothing and out of an empty pot? Or did you put some kernels and some oil in the pot and heat it up and get your popcorn? Has anybody in the history ever made popcorn out of an empty pot? Is there any example in history? Has any scientist ever done that? Has any housewife? Has anyone ever made a pot of popcorn out of an empty pot? No, it's never been done. Just as popcorn must come from popcorn kernel, you see. Similarly, existence must come from a source. You cannot have popcorn out of nothing. Similarly, you cannot have an existence that comes out of nothing. Therefore, there must be an origin for existence. That origin for existence is described by the word God. So if they say, what's your proof that God exists? The proof is you can't get something out of nothing. That's all. Has any scientist ever taken something out of nothing? Is there any scientific experiment? They took nothing and got something. It's never been done. It will never be done. So therefore, there must be an origin for existence. There must be God. God means the origin of existence. That's all. So there must be God. And there cannot not be God. Is it possible we all have one Lord and one God, all religion and non-religion, and why people are fighting each other in tradition in this country? If we all have one humanity, how is it possible one God in the world? Actually, there's only one God. I just explained. There's only one source for existence. And that source must possess personality, otherwise it cannot manifest personalities from itself. And if that source, if it has personality, it's not really an it, is it? If it has personality, it's not an it, it's a person. Not an it. Alright, so that means God's a person, because that original source has the potency, has shown its ability to manifest unlimited persons from itself. Therefore, it's not an it, it's a person. You can't get persons out of impersonal. Therefore, the source of existence must be personal and must be their person. And to find out who is that person, that's the next question. We'll deal with that one later. Maybe tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam. The great sages sometimes allusioned by the... This is very similar. The great sages sometimes allusioned by the opposite sex attraction. How we normal people can make it easy to spit on them. That means you have to become greater than the great sages. Is there any problem? You must become greater now than the great sages who fell down to sex attraction. They were great in mystic yoga, but anybody who is great in bhakti, they will never fall down. You see. There are many great sages, yogis, mystics, etc., who fell down to sex attraction. Vishwamitra Muni, for example. But if you are great in bhakti, you will never fall down. You need to become great in bhakti. Reaching the goal is important. Our path followed to reach the goal is important. Oh, reaching the goal is important, or the path following to reach the goal is important. Actually, the goal and the path are one and the same. There's no difference. The goal is bhakti, and the path is bhakti. So what is the difficulty? Hare Krishna is the means, and when you achieve the goal, what will you do? Hare Krishna. Why are all photos are shown Radha and Krishna in standing positions? They're not all in standing positions. Sometimes they're in another position. When we are following notes or roles, okay. When we are following roles, we act in a way which is different from what we are. So is this duplicity? If yes, what can we be done? Well, the Varnashram system gives you a role to play in the society which is in harmony with your eternal identity. So that is, it's like we have different roles in our Krishna conscious society. We have brahmachari, sannyasi, householder, you see. These are different roles you play. You act in a certain way within that role, because acting that role as a brahmachari or a grihastha, as a sannyasi or a vanaprastha, by acting according to that role, that is advantageous for you to revive your eternal identity. It doesn't cloud your identity. It helps to revive your identity. God is the source of everything. Then who created God? That's a stupid question. No offense. I respect you for asking the question, but I'm just saying it's a stupid question. Try to understand. That if God's the source of everything, that means that God is the source of God. So he doesn't mean he has no source. I don't want to feel like whoever asked the question, please don't take it and I'm being rude to you. I'm just making a point that this, if God is the source of everything, everything includes everything. It even includes God. Okay? So if God's the source of everything, that means God is the source of God also. You understand? Everything means everything. He includes absolutely everything. So if God is the source of everything, then God therefore must necessarily also be the source of God. That means God is self-manifested. And if he had someone else created God, then God is not God. What created God is God. You understand? So this question doesn't make sense. Who created God? God means the one who was not created. That's the meaning of God. You say, who created God? That question is illogical, because God means that person who has no creator. That's the meaning of the word God. God is the source of everything. So try to understand this philosophy. Now we'll go to the long one, the book. This will be the last one. Okay. Sometimes I think Krishna is already getting so many garlands in the Krishna Balaram temple all through the day. So I think whatever I want to give, let me put it in the form of cash into the donation box, and his devotees will use it in this his service in the best way needed. But then to my mind it comes, so do you think that Krishna is just a deity? He has unlimited potency to enjoy. Is my thought then that the offering in the form of cash be put into the right and best use by these devotees who are engaged? Is this okay or not? Actually, either way, you're okay, you know. You can give a donation or you can give a garland. Or you can do both. If you're confused of which one I should do, just do both. If you're confused, should I give a garland or should I give Lakshmi? Well, do both then. Give the Lakshmi and the garland. Then you can't lose. Okay. So now our time has run out and the deities are now confirming. And we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Hare Krishna. So we express our heartfelt thanks and respect to Maharaj-ji, and we are very fortunate that we got this wonderful opportunity to hear from Maharaj-ji. So again we say three times Hari Bol to thanks to Maharaj-ji. Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.